This is Ask Me, another NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, coming to you from Seattle, Washington. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to meet our special guest. She's a comedian and the host of the Netflix baking competition series, Nailed It, and you can hear her voice on the new animated series, Tuca and Birdie. Please welcome Nicole Byer. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Nicole, you are the host of the Netflix show Nailed It. If you don't know, it's described as three amateur bakers who have demonstrated poor baking skills attempt to create some cake masterpieces. That sums it up, right?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's three people who don't know how to bake who are competing to kill me. The things people do. You're just like, why? Also, if someone gets an eggshell in their cake batter, I will get it in my mouth, and I don't know why. Jacques is always like, I don't know why, it happens to you. That is my very accurate French accent.
That is Jacques Torres, the chocolatier extraordinaire,
yes,
who's on the show.
Who's like a genius.
Yes.
And I truly was like, why are they sitting this little dumpster next to this like highly accredited man? I was like, I feel bad for him.
But wait, so how did you get this gig?
In a very strange way. Usually people audition for things.
Sure.
But the production company, it was a straight offer, baby. the production company is called Magical Elves, and they had seen me perform a couple times, and they said, we kind of want to do an internet meme as a TV show, and we want someone who's good at poking fun, but not being too mean.
Right.
And I was like, that's kind of my wheelhouse. I'm not mean. I can't do a roast. It's so hard for me to like insult people. But now I'm finding it hard not to insult these people. Because you're like, what on earth? Have you ever seen a spatula? Like, do you know what a kitchen is? Where are you?
Right.
Like, are you all right? But it's fun. It's so much fun.
So I love the fact that it celebrates failure, basically.
Well, I think it's fun in a way where I feel like social media has shown people that like it's not okay to fail, that everyone's lives are perfect except for yours.
Right.
And I think you can watch the show and be like, look at those idiots. Maybe I'll try to do something. And it's like comedy. You're not going to get on stage and kill it every night.
Right.
You're going to fail a bunch. So I think it's good for people to see other people fail. And they're like, well, maybe I can try to do this. I think that's the message maybe that no one's ever saying.
I agree. So you moved to New York from New Jersey in 2000s?
2004?
2004.
I think.
You're not doing stand-up initially. You're a server at a comedy club.
Yes, I worked in a comedy club. It was a weird restaurant. It was, you can see it on Kitchen Nightmares. It is episode 2 of the first season. And it was one-third Irish bar, one-third Indian restaurant, one-third cabaret room.
Yes.
It made no sense. And I worked the cabaret room that had, like, drag shows and comedy shows.
And stand-up.
Yeah.
And I read that you were somewhat, like, part of the reason that you started to think of maybe doing stand-up, I'm sure it was kind of circulating in your head all the time, just based on your personality and that you're funny, but then you're watching people doing stand-up, you're watching guys doing stand-up, and they are talking about women, and they're talking about women's bodies.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really think about doing stand-up. Like, I would serve tables, and they would give me a lot of money because they were like, you're very funny, you have to get out of here, you're very bad at this. And then I started doing improv, and then when I started writing stand-up, I remembered all those men and how they would talk about women's bodies. I hated it.
Yeah.
So like when I started writing, I was like, I want to talk about men the way they talk about women. And you better believe they're real mad about it on Reddit.
Ha ha ha.
Like, I don't think I'm saying anything truly harmful, where a lot of men sometimes are feeding into misogyny and this, like, sick idea that women are inferior. And I feel like, I feel like I may be pointing out those things, but I don't think I'm making a man feel afraid of his life. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, I've sat in shows and been like, this man might kill me. Like, he's angry, you know?
So you also host a podcast called Why Won't You Date Me?
Yes. Thank you for listening. I do.
Where you're on a quest basically to answer that question.
Yes.
You are 80 episodes in. How do you feel about where we're at in this quest?
Healthier?
Yes.
It has been very eye-opening to speak to people that I've hooked up with in my 20s.
The best.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm living out like a couple people's dreams to be like, seriously, why didn't you date me? And then to have them give me an honest answer. People have been like brutally honest at times. But like that's sometimes something you need to hear to grow. And I'm also in therapy. My therapist, Mary, is a wonderful woman. But I love Mary, I love therapy. I talk about it a lot because I feel like, especially among Black people, it's stigmatized. And like my uncle, after I started taking ADD medicine, was like, you don't need it, you don't have ADD. And I was like, well, what do I have? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, cool, I'm gonna take these pills and like live. Exactly. And like thrive, okay? So I try to mention it at nauseam, so people do it. And then when people are like, it's too expensive, I'm like, there's sliding scale, there's apps. If there's a will, there is a way. If you like, you can figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to play a game with us?
Yes, I love games.
Nicole Byer, I would like to bring back Jonathan Coulton to the stage.
Ooh, hi, 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 hi.
Nicole, Jonathan, Jonathan, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Jonathan.
Nicole, the three of us are going to play a game called Fact Bag.
Okay.
We upcycled a paper bag from Bartell Drugs.
Ooh, that's cute.
And we filled it with trivia questions written on envelopes. Now, we didn't get the answers in advance, so I'm going to read a question. The three of us will talk it over and try to figure out the answer, or at least just come up with an entertaining guess. And then we'll open up the envelope and find out the real answer. So let's go for fact bag number one. All right. The question is, in language, which came first, orange the color or orange the fruit?
The fruit.
The fruit?
Obviously.
That's my first instinct as well.
Yeah.
The fruit came first.
Yeah.
They were like, this is an orange fruit, and now everything this color will be is
yeah,
orange.
Yeah, they found the fruit, and they were like, what is it? And someone was like, I don't know. And then they kept picking them. They're like, I don't know. And then they put it in their mouth. They're like, oh, orange.
That's the sound.
That's the sound of somebody eating orange. Orange. That's right.
Oh, it's an orange.
When you think about it, there aren't a lot of other things that are
orange
in nature, right?
Sure.
It's not like there's a bunch of orange stuff and they were like, that's the color orange. And then they're like, oh, this fruit is also that same color, so we'll name it after the color. I feel like that's why I think it's the orange. Orange first.
All right, let's see what
the fact excited.
Bag says.
What's it going to be?
The answer is orange the fruit came first.
See?
According to Atlas Obscura, the word orange to describe the fruit can be traced back to the 1300s when oranges became popular in Europe. It is derived from the Sanskrit word for orange tree or naranja. The word orange to describe the color did not come until at least 200 years later. Before then, the color orange was just described as red yellow.
Ah.
It's interesting that they had red and yellow.
Yep.
But they weren't ready to go to the next step.
But I like whoever was like, well, that's red, yellow. And they're like, but I have this fruit that we call an orange. Do you think maybe that's orange too?
And they're like, no, no, no. In February 2019, recently, scientists at UC Davis ran an experiment to learn why zebras have stripes. What was their conclusion? Well, I mean, I was under the impression it's like they have them, it's a camouflage.
Yeah.
It's a camouflage.
All right, so if you're going to test that theory, then you just begin, you put a bunch of lions.
You get a bunch of lions.
And then you get like 10 zebras and 10 horses, mm-hmm. and yep. you see which ones get eaten.
That's a good one.
I guess maybe the conclusion is they got stripes because they're like fashion horses.
They're like couture.
The couture horses, you know? They're fashionable. I think it's also camouflage. I think that's my real answer.
Yeah.
Right? But then I'm thinking about the desert and nothing's black and white.
Nope. Well,
yeah,
I guess
so. It's a good point. They're not right? like brown.
They stick out like yeah. a sore thumb on yeah. the desert.
They're yeah. pretty easy to see.
So maybe they're supposed to be eaten?
Yes. That's what it is. Yeah. God was like, these horses are too hard to find.
You know what? I think these lions need an easy snack.
There you go, my babies. Yeah.
All right. Let's see what the conclusion is. The answer is zebra stripes confuse flies.
What?
Well, how the hell can you tell if a fly is confused? What? They look confused all the time.
All the time. They're never going in the straight line. They're constantly confused. Where am I? What's going on? Where are we going? Bam, this way. They're a mess. This experiment took place on a British farm that had both horses and zebras. You were onto
something.
That
was my plan.
You were onto something. Researchers outfitted the animals with different colored sheets to make them appear all black and white or black and white striped. Then they observed what happened when flies tried to land on the horses and the zebras. They observed that when most flies got close to the black and white stripe pattern, they became confused.
People got paid to do this?
Yeah.
I am so angry.
All right. That is the end of Fact Bag. We did it. We're out of facts.
Okay.
We did a great job. Fact Bag is happy. Thank you for helping us work through it, Nicole.
Oh, thank you.
Nicole Byer will be back a little later in our show for her own Ask Me Another Challenge. Give it up for Nicole Byer, everybody.